You could turn to Hosea chapter 4. It's a hard one to find. Hosea chapter 4. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. The manifestations were just amazing tonight. I mean, it's like it covered my whole teaching, so that's pretty cool. Hosea 4, I just can't find it. Hosea 4, 6. Here we go. And it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." God says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And this was written thousands of years ago, but it's still true today. God's people, Christians, you know, like us, are still destroyed for lack of knowledge. Knowledge of His Word. And even Christians that know His Word a little bit, there's a lack of applying it in their lives, so they don't get the benefit of it, right? We need to renew our minds to the Word in order to get the benefit. And so one area that Christians, you know, like ourselves, we're Christians, right? One area that we still kind of get hit and aren't exactly getting the most benefit of God is in the area of condemnation, forgiveness for, you know, our sins. And we condemn ourselves a lot, and we feel bad about stuff a lot. And there's forgiveness available to you today. There's forgiveness available to you today. So you don't have to feel bad about all the stuff that you've done in the past. You can just forget about it because you're forgiven. You can turn to Psalm 103, okay? Psalm 103. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
In the back, you're all right? It's a sound question. In you don't have to go there, but in Matthew chapter 9, it's pretty cool. There's a record where they bring a paralyzed man to Jesus Christ. And, you know, he's paralyzed. This guy can't walk. That's the problem, the major problem in his life. And they bring him to Jesus, and you know what he says? He says, "Your sins are forgiven you." Pretty interesting. You know, this guy, obviously, he was paralyzed. He had that need. But Jesus Christ said, "Your sins are forgiven you." And then he says, "Get up, take up your bed and walk," and the guy gets up. What the guy needed in order to receive this deliverance was forgiveness of sins. That's what he needed. So this condemnation deal, this sin consciousness deal, it's a big deal. It's a deep thing, and it can cause physical sickness too, because it's deep. But we don't need to carry that anymore. And the prayers were great tonight too. You know, people have been praying since we started here that we can get deliverance, that we can have freedom, you know? And you can have freedom. You can get deliverance this weekend or tonight. And if it's in the area of condemnation that you need deliverance, you can get that deliverance tonight by applying the word that we're going to look at tonight. And that's pretty awesome. Where did I tell you to go? Psalm 103, right? Psalm 103. And we're going to read verses 10 through 12. We're going to look at what God thinks about our sins. Before I read that, you know, something that's interesting that is a tendency of man is to want to feel bad for stuff. I don't know why. And it's like a tendency of Christians too, to just want to feel bad about stuff. And for some reason, it feels better. Like if you did something wrong, for some reason, it feels better to like feel bad about it and think about it and like try to make yourself pay for it. That's completely off the word. You're not doing anything for anyone by feeling bad about something. God wants us to be completely relieved with the pressure off for things that we've done wrong. Anything that we've done in the past that's wrong or will do, can't do something in the past that you will do, anything that you will do, it's already been paid for. Any wrong thing has already been paid for. So we can live freely. Psalm 103, now I'll finally read it. Psalm 103, 10 through 12, it says, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." And that's pretty cool because the east is infinitely far from the west. Do you know that? If you go east and you keep going east and you keep going east, you'll never start going west, you'll keep going east. And it's the same thing going west. God has removed our transgressions, our crimes, the things that we've done wrong, as far as the east is from the west. That means they're not coming back. You can let them go because They're gone. They're not coming back. And so we don't need to remember them. And God doesn't remember them anymore either. In Manifestations, he said, I think he casts them away. He doesn't remember them. That's pretty cool. Turn to Micah chapter 7. Another crazy book out here. Micah. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. I don't know if that helped you at all, because those are all weird books too. Micah 7. You don't need to pay for your sins by feeling bad about them. And so if that's something that you have a tendency to do, it's hurting you to think about things that you've done wrong. And I think something that we do too is we play things over and over in our head that we've done and come up with different scenarios that we could have done it better, right? Or am I the only one that does that? It's something we do, right? We don't need to do that. We can just forget about it. It's gone. And we can be completely relieved of that thing. Micah chapter 7 in verse 19, this is a great one. Micah 7:19, it says, he will turn again and he will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. That was in Manifestations, right? Casting away. That's a pretty cool verse. He will subdue our iniquities. Subdue means dominate or tread down, bring into bondage, make subservient, or trample. He'll trample our iniquities and throw them into the ocean. That's kind of cool. Does anyone know the show Robin Big? Has anyone? Yeah. Oh, you do? Actually, I thought no one would know of it. So it was this show, I don't think they play it anymore, on MTV. It's Rob Dyrdek. He does Fantasy Factory too, if you guys know that one. So Robin Big, it's Rob, he's like this skinny white guy, professional skateboarder, I think. And it's his best friend, Big. And the guy's name is Big Black. You know why? Because he's a big black guy. And that's his nickname. They weren't very creative with it. So this is the show. It's about this guy and his bodyguard and best friend, Big Black. And it's just about the adventures, the stupid stuff that they do together, right? So there's this one episode where they buy a time machine on eBay. Like, the best place to buy a time machine. They buy a time machine on eBay in Canada. They live in California. So they fly out to go get it. It's like this box that's like this big. In someone's house, they go and they get it and they like try to use it. It obviously doesn't work. They try again, doesn't work. And so they go outside on the sidewalk and Big has the time machine, and I'm going to demonstrate what he does. Big has the time machine like this. He puts it on the ground, he puts his hands on his hips like this, and he tramples it like that, just like that. And it's amazing. He's this huge guy. And that's what I thought of. God tramples our sins, okay? God tramples our sins. He's so done with them, and so we could be so done with them too. Tramples our sins and casts them into the sea, okay? So we don't need to remember that stuff anymore because God's done with it. Turn to Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 3. I really thought no one would know that show, so I'm pretty happy that somebody knew about it. I knew Nick would, of course. Acts chapter 3. I probably saw that episode 15 years ago or something, and that's what I thought of. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Here's another great one. Acts 3:19, it says, repent ye therefore, or change, right? Repent. Change your mind and be converted or turn around, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Our sins shall be blotted out. That blotted out means erased, like completely erased. I work on computers and I've erased things that I just can't get back ever again. And it was a major problem for me. But that's our sins. They're erased. In this administration, our sins are erased. In the Old Testament times, it says that their sins were covered. Like, you put them in a trash can, you put the trash can lid on top, right? And they're covered, and God, he just walks by them. Like, he's like, oh, I don't see anything. In our time period, our sins are erased. You can't get them back. So we don't need to hold on to it. Anything in your past that you're holding on to that's holding you back, forget it. Get rid of it. You've been forgiven already. Remembering it doesn't help you at all. And God's already forgotten about it. He's trampled them and cast them into the sea. So if condemnation is something that you struggle with, then get it taken care of this weekend. Renew your mind. Forget about it. Just get rid of it because it's not helping you at all. It's not helping anybody. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And you could turn there. I forgot to tell you that this, I'll read Acts 3 again. You can keep turning to Hebrews. Acts 3:19, it says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." That times of refreshing can be translated a breathing again. You can breathe again. And this verse, it's talking about getting born again. When we get born again, God just wipes the slate. You know, anything that you've done before that time, it's gone. Any sins, whatever, they're erased. And that weight is lifted, and then we can breathe again. And I thought about having everyone hold their breath for a really long time and then breathe again, but someone would definitely, like, die. So I thought, might as well not do that. But you can think about doing that and about breathing again and how that's such a relief, okay? Don't do it because you might die, especially in the heat. Hebrews 10. Actually, I don't know if heat makes a difference in that case. I don't want to find out. Titus? Okay. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. This is pretty cool here too. "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." God doesn't remember our sins anymore. They're gone, and he'll never bring them back up. And we don't need to remember them either. They can just be gone. That's the price that Jesus Christ paid for us, that we don't have to deal with that stuff anymore. It's gone. Pretty awesome. Let's go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Great freedom and healing comes when sin consciousness leaves. And that happens from renewing our minds to the Word. You know, I forget if it was Stephanie or Aaron that brought it up today, that you want to focus on a specific verse. You know, you can't just renew your mind to the entire Bible, right? You want to focus on a specific verse related to your problem that you have. And so you can pick any of these verses that we're going over tonight and focus on them if this is a problem for you. Just replay this verse over in your mind. Whenever some kind of condemnation comes up or whatever, go to that verse in your mind. Memorize it or have a Bible, whatever. And you will get that deliverance. It's completely available. I said Luke chapter 4, right? Luke 4. We're going to read verse 18. If there's something in your life that you're holding on to, you know, something from your past or whatever, get rid of it this weekend. Or get rid of it tonight, you know, make it a priority. Because condemnation, sin consciousness, it just holds us down. And that's not God's will for us. His will for us is that we're free. You know, all these verses, it's like casting away, throw it into the sea, or he doesn't remember it anymore. All this stuff is just release. You know, there's great release when there's forgiveness. And we can accept God's forgiveness and have that release. Luke 4, verse 18. So this is like towards the beginning of Jesus Christ's public ministry. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." And this is an awesome verse because the word deliverance, preach deliverance to the captives, that deliverance is the same word that's often translated forgiveness. And you see again, preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised. That liberty is also the same word that's often translated forgiveness. Forgiveness for God is a pretty big deal. And Jesus Christ came so that, you know, he could pay for all the sins of the world so that we can be forgiven, so that it could be gone. It's used twice in that verse, and that's not a mistake. You know, God uses stuff for a reason. And the word bruised at the end, set at liberty them that are bruised. The word bruised means breaking pieces or shattered, broken by calamity. Have you ever felt broken by calamity? You know, have you ever done something wrong and it just, you feel so bad? Well, we can be completely forgiven. We can have complete healing for anything in the past. Complete healing, complete deliverance. And you know, even if it's been a long time that you've been dealing with something, You can still have complete deliverance tonight by renewing your mind to the word. There's a guy, I forget where it is, but he was sick, some problem for 38 years, and then he was healed. 38 years is a long time to have a problem. But it's just, you know, you have your problem this whole time, and then bam, that one day, it's changed. And that's what we can do when we believe the word. It's that word, it's the metamorphosis, right? A complete transformation. It's not just like a little bit of a change. It's a complete change, and we can have that in our mind when we believe the word. I want to read some definitions from the word of forgiveness. And there's a bunch here, so if you're taking notes, don't feel like you have to write them all down. Just kind of get the gist of it, or you could write a couple, whatever. But here's some definitions of forgiveness from the word. Forgiveness is to send away, dismiss, or set free. To remit punishment where the guilty person is dealt with as if he were innocent. To pardon, set at liberty, setting free. Cancellation of debt or punishment. Total forgiveness, excluding all idea of punishment. That's pretty cool, right? Especially that last one. Total forgiveness, excluding all idea of punishment. God's not in the business of punishing us for the stuff that we've done wrong. You know, if you listen to any of those definitions, it's just a setting free. It's a release. It's a weight lifted. That's what God wants to do for us. And what God wants for you and for me is this freedom. So God's forgiven us. What I want to look at next is how we can forgive each other and why we should forgive each other. But before I do that, I want to blow up the spot of some worldly thinking. When I look at a subject in the Word, sometimes I like to Google what the world says about this specific subject, just for fun. Like, that's probably not a good thing to do, but I do it. I'm not looking, like, for guidance from Google, but just to see, like, how opposite it is of the Word. Anyway, so what I looked up was toxic people. Have you heard that phrase, toxic people?
Yes.
Or cutting off toxic people? I did an extensive research. I Googled cutting off toxic people, and I clicked the first two links. And here's some things that it says, which is amazing. It's like, it's understandable. Who wants to cut out their mom or their best friend? Unfortunately, that's the choice we're often forced to make. Toxic people are toxic people. And wherever they are, we have to find the strength to cut them off and cut them out of our lives like the cancer that they are. Here's the next section. Why you're allowed to cut toxic people out. Make no mistake about it, you are always, always, always allowed to cut toxic people out of your life. It doesn't matter if they're your mama, your daddy, your rabbi, or your husband. If someone inflicts more damage or negativity on your life than blessings, they aren't good for your mental or emotional well-being. Remember we were talking about like Googling things to get the answers? This is like the worst thing in the world. Okay, so here's the next link. Remember, these are just the first two links. There's probably even worse ones out there. I don't know who wrote these, but for starters, they can eat up a lot of your time and energy. For example, when you come home from work, you may spend the rest of your evening complaining about a coworker with your partner, which may put a strain on your relationship. Another example would be a friend who has a habit of arriving late. So if you were meeting them for lunch, that means the rest of your afternoon has to be adjusted because they didn't show up on time. Toxic people. Additionally, they may cause you to lose your temper, which in turn leads to negative feelings like anger, resentment, and even poor self-esteem, and this could create more stress in your life. Perhaps that's why those with more toxic relationships in their life are at greater risk of heart disease. And then it puts some examples, qualities of toxic people, and then here's the last thing I'm going to read. I'm not going to spend forever on this. If you know someone who displays any of these, then you might want to remove them from your life. It won't be easy, but it's in your best interest. And then there's a section on how to eliminate toxic people from your life. So that is the great guidance from Google, right? This information here is absolutely the opposite of the word, okay? So there's an example of why not to Google an answer to something that you need. Look in the word because it has the truth and stuff that will actually work. Whoever wrote these things, I'm sure they must have like one friend left and they won't for long because that person will be late for lunch and they'll cut them off, you know? It's like, you take that through to the end, this person is just gonna be alone forever. We're not like that, okay? with the believers, we do our best to keep people, you know, because we're part of the same body. We can't just like cut off our arm or cut off our leg because it was late for something, you can turn to Proverbs 14. People are messy. I mean, if you've ever met a person, they cause problems and they make mistakes. You might know if you're a person. If you're ever looking for like perfect people, you'll always be disappointed because Jesus Christ was the only one that was perfect. So don't expect perfectness, perfection from anyone, ever, because you'll be disappointed. What you can be strong in, though, is forgiveness. We could be really strong in forgiveness just like God is strong in forgiveness. Completely releasing, completely getting rid of the thing that was holding us back. Proverbs 14, verse 4 is a great verse. It says, where no oxen are, the crib is clean, and everyone's happy. The end. Right? Where there's no oxen, the crib is clean. They, you know, if there's no oxen, there's no oxen poop anywhere, which is great, and everyone's happy. But much increase is by the strength of the ox. It's probably really hard to plow a field just with your hands. Where there's people, it's messy. People make mistakes. They lie. They hurt you intentionally or unintentionally. You know, we all know because we're people. People make mistakes. But where there's people, you know, you have your friends. They can help you. They can tell you, like Dean said, that Rich said, to renew your mind, you know. And Steph said the same thing about her friend Aaron, right? Your friends can tell you when to renew your mind, or here's what the word says about that topic, or whatever. They can help. There's much increase by the strength of the ox. So we need people. We can't just cut off everybody. We need to be really strong in forgiveness. And Jerry tells us a lot that if you want to be a leader, you have to be really strong in patience and forgiveness. So if you want to be a leader, that's something to think about. Turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18. Are you following me so far?
Yeah.
All right. Some people are. That's great. Matthew 18, we're going to read 21 and 22. So here's some great Peter stuff. I love looking at Peter because he's always doing something crazy. Matthew 18, 21 and 22, it says, then came Peter to him, to Jesus Christ, and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And I used to be like, Peter, come on, you could have come up with a bigger number than that. But honestly, think about it. Like, someone hurts you one time, and then they hurt you again, 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 and then again, and then again. Seven times is actually a substantial number. So we got to give Peter some credit here. Verse 22, Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Basically saying, you just keep forgiving, always. You keep forgiving. And the reason that he had to say that is because people are messy and they're going to disappoint you always. You know, it's just how people are. But we can be really strong in forgiveness just like God is. We can extend that to other people. Go to Mark chapter 14, please. Mark 14. So now we're going to look at an example of a master of forgiveness, and that's Jesus Christ. In Mark 14, we're going to read verses 26 to 42 here. So here in Mark 14, this is shortly before Jesus Christ was crucified. He knew that it was coming up really soon. And he really didn't want to be crucified, obviously. It was a really heavy time for him. And so in Mark 14, verse 26, it says, and when they had sung in him, they went out into the Mount of Olives. You guys there? Mark 14, 26. 27, and Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter, here's Peter again. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake even more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. You think Peter meant this?
Yeah.
I think so, right? I think he was pretty sincere. And the other guys, they all agreed too. They said, yeah, we would die too before we denied you. But that's people, right? People make promises. And verse 32, And they came to a place which was called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. So Jesus Christ, he's pretty upset. You know, it's a really heavy time. He's going to be crucified soon, and he knows it. And so he takes with him his three inner circle, you could say, I guess. Three guys that he spent a lot of time with. You know, he had the 12 apostles, and then these three guys he spent even more time with and really shared his heart some more. And so he takes them with him. These are his, you know, good friends, the time he spent a lot of time with, for to be there with him when he's going through this hard time. And we get to verse 34. He saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will. So he goes off to pray by himself. He tells his three friends here to just sit and watch. Verse 37, And he cometh and findeth them sleeping. In his great time of need, they kind of disappoint. He comes back and they're sleeping. He told them to watch. And saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh are weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And again, and when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. People disappoint. Neither wist they what to answer him. They didn't even know what to say at that point. They, you know, you just feel so bad. But that's people. They disappoint. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. So that's, you know, towards the end of, before Jesus Christ was crucified. We could pick up the story in Matthew 26. So the Gospels, you know, they build on each other. You could do scripture build-up to learn and get some more information about a record. So in Matthew 26, 69, we'll pick it up from there. Matthew 26, 69. 26, okay, it says, So Jesus Christ, they take him away. They start ridiculing and beating him and stuff. And Peter's watching from a little bit of a distance. In verse 69, it says, Now Peter sat without the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou wast also with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. For when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath. You know, he swore, I do not know the man. And this is what he just said he wouldn't do. Remember that? And after a while came unto him that they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely, Thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And in another gospel, I think it's Mark or something, it says that Jesus Christ turned and looked at him at that point. You know, he saw this happening, that he was saying, I don't even know who this guy is. That's people. Verse 75, And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crew, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. And that was the last time, you know, a little bit more here, but pretty much the last time that Peter saw Jesus Christ before he was crucified, and that Jesus Christ saw Peter. Big disappointment, you know, just disappointment upon disappointment. We could pick up the story again in John 21, okay? John 21. It gets better. Don't worry. It's okay. John 21. You know that he was resurrected and stuff, so we're okay. John 21. So Jesus Christ was crucified. He got up. And he had his new body, which was pretty cool because he could like appear places and then vanish, which is crazy. And so the first thing he did was he came and he struck Peter with some lightning with his new body.
No,
right? I mean, I guess we'll read what he did here. But he didn't do that, so thank you. John 21, let's start in verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And I go a-fishing is a little more than telling them, I'm going to go fishing. He's going back to his old profession, his old ways, before he met Jesus Christ and before Jesus Christ spent all this time with him, teaching him and giving him power and all this stuff. He's going back to his old ways and said, I go a-fishing. Verse 3, they say unto them, we also go with thee. So they gave up too. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said, good. No. And verse 6, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. So this is the first thing that Jesus Christ does for them when he's back. You see that forgiveness? Did he, like, bring Peter and slap him in the face? First thing he does is just really bless him, even though he disappointed him so many times. Verse 7, therefore the disciple that whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon. And Jesus threw Peter into the fire. No, right? Are you with me here?
Yeah.
Okay. And fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus said unto them, come and dine. How cool is that? So Jesus Christ comes to them after he sees Peter denying him, after Peter fell asleep when he really needed him. The first thing he does is he really blesses him, and then he makes him breakfast. That's some forgiveness. Do you think Jesus Christ brought up with Peter the stuff that he did wrong? I don't think so. It's not in here. He forgave him. And that's the same thing we can do for people. I mean, this was a pretty big deal. You know, Jesus Christ, he asked his friends, watch and pray. Wait, like, I need help here. Just watch. And they fall asleep. They disappoint. So many times we do that for people too. We don't mean to. You know, oftentimes we just make mistakes. We don't mean to. Sometimes we do. We intentionally just do something wrong and hurt someone. But forgiveness is a big deal because it's release. And forgiveness is almost, I think, greater for the person that's forgiving than the person that receives forgiveness, because you don't have to hold on to that anymore. It's release for both people. You can just let it go. If Jesus Christ held on to all the things that people did to him, you know, just the year or less of his public ministry, he wouldn't be able to move on. They just did terrible things to him all the time. But he forgave immediately, just moved on, and that was it. And we could do the same. We can just have great forgiveness. Extend God's forgiveness to people. And when you know that God has forgiven you for so much, it makes it a lot easier to just forgive other people. Just let it go. Because we have a bigger thing that we're part of. You know, we don't need to worry about all these small little things, like someone being late for lunch or something. You know, we can just get rid of it. Forgive. Go to Galatians 6. Galatians 6. We're almost done here. Galatians 6. So we looked at that God has forgiven us completely. He doesn't hold on to stuff. He tramples our sins and casts them into the sea. You know, our transgressions are removed as far as the east is from the west. And so we don't have to hold on to things that we've done in the past anymore. We can just get rid of them. Renew our minds and get rid of them. Be free. And then we can also forgive other people. Extend God's forgiveness to other people. Just let things go. You'll live a free life. Galatians 6, 1. And I love this verse because it's, I don't know, it's really cool. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. If a man be overtaken in a fault, sometimes people just mess up. And they don't mean to, they just get overtaken in a fault. It just overtakes them. The adversary works people down to mess them up. And then all of a sudden their weaknesses and everything, the adversary does stuff, they mess up. They disappoint. But here it says, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We can make mistakes too. So we can just forgive and move on. We could be really strong in patience and forgiveness. And then turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, we'll close here. Ephesians 4. So if you have a problem with condemnation, get rid of it this weekend. You don't need to be held by it anymore. You're completely forgiven. It's trampled and cast into the sea. Ephesians 4:32, it says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." We can be kind one to another, tenderhearted and forgiving, just like God is to us. And there's another record in the gospel somewhere where Jesus Christ raises this guy from the dead. And the people that are around are just so blessed about it. They're like, they say, God has visited his people. And that's pretty cool. You know, Jesus Christ raised a guy from the dead and they say, God has visited his people. And we can be like that for people too. That when we're around them, we can extend God's love, extend God's forgiveness. So that when we're there, it's like God has visited his people. We can be a great example like that to each other. You know, and we can be examples in school too, or at work, whatever. Just things don't faze us. We just let things go. We don't like boil over and everything. And people will see that we have something different. We've renewed our minds. We've transformed. And they'll see that difference. And they'll ask, what's going on with you? There's so many stories of people that's happened. They're just a great example. And people just are like, what is going on here? We can be that for people. We can extend the love of God, forgiveness, and really bless people. Okay? So that's all I got.